Welcome back, everybody. Today's deep dive is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to be looking at these so-called minor prophets in the Old Testament, that section that maybe sometimes gets overlooked.
Yeah, they don't get as much attention.
And, I think we have a really cool opportunity here to unearth some real gems. And I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on all this. You sent over this lecture by Dr. Gary Yates,
Right.
and it seems like there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, this is great material. There's a lot of good stuff in here.
So maybe just to kick things off, when we talk about prophets, I think a lot of people have this image of, like fortune tellers, people predicting the future. But Dr. Yates really emphasizes that there's so much more to it than that.
That's right. That's right. They were not just fortune tellers. They were chosen by God for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And they served as God's spokespeople,
Right.
delivering messages with undeniable authority.
For real
You
authority.
know?
And he makes this point, the Hebrew word for prophet is nabi, which means one who is called.
That's right.
So it's not just about, somebody who has some special ability to see into the future, but it's really about this sense of being called by God for a mission, for a purpose. Can you imagine feeling that kind of responsibility?
Oh, that's a heavy mantle to bear.
Yeah, I mean, to think that the words you're speaking are not your own, but are coming directly from God,
Right.
that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And even in the lecture, he talks about how, even some of these prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, when they first receive this call, they hesitate, they're a little reluctant, which makes sense,
Of
right?
course.
It's a huge responsibility.
Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, I'm but a child.
Right.
How can I speak for you?"
I was like, whoa, wait a second. I'm not sure I'm the right person for this job.
Right.
But, they ultimately accept their missions. And then, of course, there's Jonah who
Yeah.
tries to run away from his calling altogether.
Absolutely. Yeah, he tries to get as far away from God as he possibly can.
Right? It's like, can I just, book a cruise and get out of here?
Yeah, he got on a boat headed in the opposite direction.
But God is persistent.
Yeah, God's gonna get you.
God's going to find you.
He'll find you.
And it makes me wonder, have any of us ever tried to ignore a calling in our own lives?
I think any of us at some point or another.
Maybe that's something worth reflecting on, whether it's something big or small that we feel called to do. But going back to these prophets, it's really clear that they weren't just sharing their own opinions.
Right.
Dr. Yates mentions how that phrase, "Thus says Yahweh,"
Right.
appears over 350 times in the prophetic books.
Yeah, that's their stamp of authority. That's how they know that what they're saying is coming from God.
It's like the ultimate seal of approval.
That's right.
And the content of those messages, well, they're very much rooted in the covenants God made with his people.
Yeah.
So these covenants, these agreements between God and humanity are really kind of like the backbone of the prophet's message. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. The prophet's message is built upon the foundation of those covenants.
And I think it's worth maybe taking a moment to kind of walk through some of those key covenants that Dr. Yates highlights. Because, it's been a while since Sunday school for me.
Sure.
And I'm sure for some of our listeners as well. So maybe we can just do a quick refresher.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
So where does he start?
Well, he starts with the Noahic covenant.
Okay.
You remember that story? God destroys the world with a flood.
Right.
And then he makes a promise to Noah,
To never do it again.
never again.
Right.
And it's not just a promise to never flood the earth again. It also emphasizes humanity's responsibility to control violence. It's a beautiful blend of grace and accountability.
It's interesting how that kind of connects to our modern conversations about, caring for the earth and
Right?
global responsibility
Absolutely.
and making sure we're not destroying the planet.
It all goes back to that.
So it's like these core values, they're really timeless. They're not just relevant to ancient Israel, they're relevant to us today.
That's right.
So we've got the Noahic covenant, and then what comes next?
Well, then we have the Abrahamic covenant,
Okay.
and this is where God makes these incredible promises to Abraham.
Right.
He promises him countless descendants, a land of their own, and that through him all nations would be blessed.
Wow, talk about big
Huge
promises.
promise, yeah.
So, what was expected of Abraham in return for all of this?
Well, the big thing is faithfulness.
Okay.
That's a recurring theme throughout these covenants. Abraham's trust in God is what made this agreement possible.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how that idea of blessing all nations, that's still a pretty radical idea even today.
Absolutely.
It's like this vision of a world where everyone is included.
Right.
Everyone is
It's
blessed.
a beautiful vision.
And then we get to the Mosaic covenant, which always seemed a little intense to me, I gotta be
It
honest.
is. It lays out a pretty specific framework for living.
Right, with all those laws and rules and
That's
regulations.
right. It was given at Mount Sinai, and it lays out the groundwork for Israel's relationship with God.
Right.
It outlines their role as a holy nation,
mm.
a kingdom of priests.
Okay.
With blessings for obedience.
Right.
And consequences for disobedience.
So it's like a two-way street.
Absolutely. It's like a contract.
Right.
You uphold, you end of the bargain. God upholds his connect.
There's accountability there.
Right.
And then finally, we've got the Davidic covenant.
Right.
Which I feel like is a really important one because it points towards Jesus.
Absolutely. This one's crucial because God promises to establish David's dynasty forever, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Right. So it's not just about an earthly king.
That's right.
But about God's ultimate plan for redemption through his son. It's like all these covenants are kind of like a roadmap to understanding God's grand plan.
They're all connected.
But where do the prophets fit into all of this? Like, how do they connect to these covenants?
Well, they were the messengers.
Okay.
Entrusted with reminding the people of their end of the bargain.
Hmm.
So to speak, they held up a mirror to the nation.
Okay.
Revealing how their actions were either aligned with or in direct conflict with the covenants they had made with God.
So it's not just about, you know, predicting the future. It's really about reminding people of their commitments in the present moment.
That's right.
And calling them back to those commitments.
Absolutely.
It's like they were spiritual accountability partners.
Yeah.
For an entire nation.
That's a good way to put it.
And Dr. Yates, you know, he gets into the four main points of the prophet's message. And this is where I think things start to get really interesting.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
The first point is you have sinned and broken the covenant.
Right.
And he even compares the prophets to prosecuting attorneys.
That's right.
Presenting evidence of Israel's violations.
They lay out the case.
So they weren't afraid to call out the wrongs they saw happening around them.
No, not at all. They were bold and uncompromising.
That takes courage.
Absolutely.
Because I can imagine that didn't always make them the most popular people.
No, I'm sure they weren't invited to many parties.
So do you have any examples of these judgment speeches that Dr. Yates mentions? Like, what does that actually sound like?
Yeah, he mentions the one from Isaiah where Isaiah condemns greed and exploitation.
Mm.
And he warns of desolation as a consequence.
Mm.
And there's another chilling one from Micah.
Okay.
Where corrupt leaders and false prophets face the potential destruction of Jerusalem.
Wow, those are some powerful examples.
Yes, they are.
So it's not just like, you know, you've been a little naughty here.
Right.
There are real consequences.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
For these actions.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't all doom and gloom, was it?
No, definitely not. Their message always contained an element of hope.
Okay.
Which brings us to the second key point.
Okay.
You need to repent and turn around.
Okay, so there's a call to action here.
Absolutely. There's a real urgency and passion in their calls to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But also a genuine plea for people to change their ways.
So it's not about punishment. It's really about urging people to return to a right relationship with God.
That's right.
And I love that line from Joel that, you know, return to me with all your heart.
Yes.
It really emphasizes that true repentance
right.
is about more than just outward actions.
Yeah, it's got to be a change of heart.
It's got to be a transformation from within.
Absolutely.
And that's a message that feels incredibly relevant even today. You know, I mean, we're all capable of putting on a good show.
Right.
But true change has to start from within.
Absolutely.
What about that third point, though?
Yeah.
What happens if there is no repentance?
Well, that brings us to the third point.
Okay.
If there is no repentance, there will be judgment.
It's a reality check.
It is.
Right? Like, actions have consequences.
That's right.
And ignoring that truth doesn't make it go away.
You can escape it.
Dr. Gates mentions a story about Jeremiah and a potter.
Right.
Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. So God instructs Jeremiah to go watch a potter working with clay.
Okay.
At first, the message is full of hope.
Okay.
God compares himself to the potter, showing his willingness to mold and reshape Israel like the clay.
Mm.
But then when the clay becomes marred,
uh-oh.
The potter simply smashes it and starts over.
Okay.
It's a pretty dramatic illustration.
It is.
Of what happens when people refuse to repent and be shaped by God.
Yeah, it's a powerful image for sure.
Yeah.
So is it all doom and gloom then? Is there no hope for restoration after judgment?
Not at all. That brings us to the fourth and final point.
Okay.
After judgment, there will be restoration.
Okay.
And this is where we see the dual nature of the prophet's message.
Mm.
Yes, they pronounced judgment, but they also held out hope for a future where God would heal and restore his people.
But so it's like even in the midst of those pronouncements of judgment,
right.
there's always this thread of hope.
Absolutely.
Woven through.
And God is faithful to his covenants,
mm.
even when his people aren't.
He doesn't give up on us.
He doesn't give up. He promises to forgive sins, write his law on their hearts, pour out his spirit, and give them a new heart.
It's a message of ultimate redemption.
It is.
Wow. So we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive into the prophets.
Yeah.
We've learned that they weren't just fortune tellers, but messengers called by God
right.
to speak truth
yes.
and remind his people of their covenants.
That's right.
Their message was this powerful blend of warning and hope,
yeah.
urging repentance, but also promising eventual restoration.
That's the good news.
So what's so fascinating is how these messages still resonate today.
They do. These ancient words speak to something deep within the human experience.
Mm.
Our longing for connection with something bigger than ourselves,
right.
our struggle with sin and the need for forgiveness, and our enduring hope for a future filled with meaning and purpose.
You've given us a lot to think about already.
We're glad to do it.
We'll be back in the next part to explore how these ancient messages connect to our lives today. So stay tuned.
Looking forward to it.
All right, we are back and ready to dive even deeper into the world of the Old Testament prophets. Last time we really started to grasp, I think, you know, the power of those covenants
right.
and the prophets' role as messengers.
Right.
But it feels like there's got to be more to it, right? Like, how do these ancient stories connect to our lives today?
Yeah, that's the question.
I mean, what's the relevance for us, you know, thousands of years later?
Well, if we kind of zoom out a bit and look at the big picture,
okay,
we see that these covenants aren't just about, you know, historical events.
Right.
They reveal something fundamental about God's character and his enduring relationship with humanity.
So it's less about memorizing dates and names and more about understanding God's heart.
Exactly.
And how he interacts with us.
Yeah, how he relates to us.
Like, what does he want from us?
Right.
What does he expect of us?
Right.
Take the Noahic covenant, for example.
Yeah.
God's commitment to never again destroy the earth with a flood. I mean, that speaks volumes about his mercy and grace.
It does. It really does.
But it also highlights our responsibility, right?
That's right.
To care for each other,
yeah.
to care for the planet.
It's all connected.
And that feels pretty relevant to today's world, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, think about all the conversations we're having about environmentalism,
right.
global responsibility,
sustainability,
yeah.
all of that.
It's all tied in.
It's like these themes are woven through these ancient stories,
right.
and they're still so relevant today.
Absolutely.
And then we have the Abrahamic covenant, where God promises to bless all nations through Abraham's descendants.
Right, a blessing to all nations.
I mean, that's amazing.
It is.
It points toward this expansive love,
yes.
this desire to redeem all of humanity.
Right, not just a select few, but everybody.
It makes you think about how we can participate in that blessing.
Right. How can we be a part of that?
How can we be a source of hope and healing in the world?
Yeah, it's not just something that happens to us.
Right.
We're active participants.
We have a role to play.
Absolutely.
And what about the Mosaic covenant?
Yeah.
That one always kind of struck me as being pretty strict.
It is. It's a lot of rules and regulations.
Yeah, all those laws and commandments.
Right. It does lay out a pretty specific framework for living.
Yeah, like, here's how you should live.
That's right.
Here are the boundaries.
Right and wrong, black and white.
Yeah, but at its heart, it emphasizes the importance of relationship.
Absolutely.
Living in right relationship with God.
Right.
And with each other.
Yes.
It's about choosing life,
right.
choosing flourishing,
yeah.
and choosing to create a society that reflects God's justice and righteousness.
It's about shalom.
So those blessings and curses that are talked about,
yeah.
it's not just about arbitrary rewards and punishments.
No, they were a reflection of the natural consequences of our choices.
Hmm.
When we align ourselves with God's will,
yeah.
we experience blessing and flourishing.
Okay.
But when we turn away from him, we create chaos and disharmony.
It's like we reap what we sow.
You reap what you sow, exactly.
And that's true in our personal lives,
yeah.
but also on a societal level.
Absolutely.
What about the Davidic covenant, though?
Okay.
What does that teach us about God's character?
The Davidic covenant is all about hope.
Okay.
God's promise to establish David's dynasty forever points towards the ultimate king.
Jesus
Christ.
Right.
Who would come from David's lineage and fulfill all of God's promises.
So it's not just about an earthly kingdom.
That's right.
It's about God's ultimate plan for redemption.
Exactly.
Through his son, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so these covenants taken together, I mean, they paint a pretty remarkable picture.
They do.
Of God's faithfulness.
His love.
His justice.
His unwavering commitment.
His unwavering commitment to his people.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing to see how these seemingly distant stories
yeah.
are so deeply connected to our lives today.
Right. They're not just ancient history.
They're not just dusty old agreements.
No, they're living, breathing testaments to God's character
mm-hmm.
and his desire to be in relationship with us.
And that's why the prophets' messages are so timeless, right?
They are.
Because they were entrusted with communicating these truths.
Yeah.
Calling people back to alignment with God's heart.
Back to that covenant relationship.
And reminding them of the consequences of straying from his path.
Right. There are consequences.
It makes their words so much more potent.
Yeah.
Knowing the context.
Right.
Knowing the weight of these covenants and the hopes and promises they contained.
Absolutely.
So it challenges us to consider how we're living in light of these covenants.
It does.
You know, are we embracing God's grace?
Yeah. Are we pursuing justice and righteousness?
Are we reflecting his love to the world?
That's the question.
Those are some big questions. Yeah. It's like the prophets are speaking directly to us.
Right across the centuries.
Across the century.
Yeah.
Urging us to examine our lives.
To look in the mirror.
Make sure our actions are lining up with our beliefs.
Right. Are we walking the walk?
Are we walking the talk?
Yeah.
Not just talking the talk.
That's right.
And they remind us that the call to repentance and renewal is always relevant.
Always.
It's not just a one-time
sin. No matter how far we've strayed.
No matter how many mistakes we've made.
There's always a path back.
There's always a way back to God.
Absolutely.
It's not just about studying ancient history. It's about applying these timeless truths
right.
to our own lives.
To our everyday lives.
And asking ourselves how we can live more fully into the covenants God has made with us.
That's the challenge.
It's a challenge, but it's also an invitation, right?
It is.
It's an invitation to experience that fullness of life.
Right.
That flourishing that comes from being in a right relationship with God.
That's the goal.
All right. So we've done a pretty good job, I think, of kind of laying out this foundation
yeah.
of the covenants and the prophets' role as messengers.
Right.
But I'm excited to actually dive into some specific examples from these minor prophets.
Yeah, let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Let's see how their messages continue to challenge and inspire us today.
Let's do it.
We've been on quite a journey with these Old Testament prophets, haven't we?
We have.
From understanding their role as messengers of the covenant to seeing how those covenants reveal so much about God's character and our own call to action.
Right.
But now it feels like we're getting to the heart of it all. You know, what do these prophets' messages mean for us today? How do we apply these ancient words to our modern world?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Right? But what's so fascinating is how timeless these messages really are.
Mm.
I mean, the core themes the prophets addressed,
yeah.
sin, repentance, judgment, restoration,
yeah.
they resonate just as strongly today as they did thousands of years ago.
It's like they were tapping into something fundamental about the human experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's break it down.
Okay.
Sin. The prophets were pretty clear that straying from God's path has consequences. They don't sugarcoat anything.
Not at all. They were fearless in calling out injustice, idolatry, hypocrisy,
mm.
both on a personal level and within society as a whole.
Yeah, they weren't afraid to name names.
Nope.
And to speak truth to power.
That's right.
And, you know, those judgment speeches we talked about?
Right.
Those weren't empty threats.
No.
There were real consequences for choosing to live in opposition to God's will.
Actions have consequences.
Yeah, it's hard to hear sometimes, but I guess that's part of what makes their message so powerful.
That's the truth.
They were dealing with real issues, real struggles, and they didn't shy away from the truth.
That's right.
But it's also important to remember that judgment was never God's ultimate desire.
Right. It was always meant to be a wake-up call.
Okay.
A way to turn people back towards him.
So that's where repentance comes in, right?
Exactly.
The prophets were constantly urging people to change their ways.
Right.
To turn away from their wicked actions and return to a right relationship with God.
That's the path to life.
And that call to repentance is just as relevant for us today, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, are there areas in our own lives where we need to acknowledge our shortcomings?
Yeah.
To seek forgiveness.
To make amends.
To make amends, the prophets would challenge us to take a good hard look at ourselves.
Yeah, look in a mirror.
At our motivations, our actions, our priorities.
It's not always easy.
No, it's not. It's easier to point fingers at others
right.
than to look inward
right.
and acknowledge our own flaws.
It's humbling.
Yeah, but that's the kind of honesty and self-reflection the prophets were calling for.
Absolutely.
You know, they were asking people, and they're still asking us.
Hmm.
Are we living in alignment with God's values?
Are we walking the walk?
Are we pursuing justice, mercy, humility?
Or are we letting our own selfish desires get in the way?
Yeah, those are big questions.
Big questions.
But the good news is
yeah.
the prophets didn't leave it hanging.
No, they didn't.
They offered a way forward, a path to healing and restoration.
That's the hope.
That's the good news, right?
Absolutely.
Even in the midst of judgment,
yep.
there's always the possibility of a new beginning.
The beginnings.
God's grace is always available to those who are willing to turn back to him.
His arms are open wide.
That's such a powerful message of hope.
It is.
You know, no matter how far we've strayed.
Doesn't matter.
No matter how many mistakes we've made, God is always ready to welcome us back.
With open arms.
With open arms.
Every time.
The prophets remind us that we're not defined by our failures.
Nope.
God's love is ultimately greater,
so much greater
than any of our shortcomings.
That's right.
And that love has the power to transform us.
To heal us.
To heal us.
To make us new.
To make us new.
To redeem us.
This deep dive has been incredible.
It has.
I feel like I have a whole new understanding of the Old Testament prophets.
Yeah.
And how their words speak to us today. It's not just ancient history.
Right.
It's a living, breathing message that's relevant to our lives.
To our struggles.
To our struggles. Our hopes and dreams.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. And, you know, for all of you listening, we encourage you to take some time to reflect on what you've heard today.
Yeah, think about it.
Which prophet's message resonated most with you?
What spoke to your heart?
And what changes might you need to make in your life to align yourself more fully with God's heart?
Yeah.
Until next time, keep diving deeper into the truth.
Keep searching.